Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Hey there, everybody. It is Wednesday, May 25th, 2022. Welcome to the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast, where we pour the cereal first, but, you know, we're open to hearing arguments. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, alongside Michael F. Floria. We got producer Randy at the controls. Floria, we were talking, and we have a guest that we're going to introduce in just a moment. But you being a Mets fan and me being a Dodger fan, we were both living the same amount of anguish watching the Mets cough up a lead. And I think especially because it was Jock Peterson that was one of the prime culprits involved in it. I don't know about you, but for me, that was doubly painful last night.
It was triply painful for me because I benched Jock Peterson in my fantasy baseball league this week. So that hurt. I turned the game off when it was 8-2 as I watched an episode of Severance. And then I was like, let me check the score. I was like, the Mets are tied, or they were up by one. So I caught the whole end of that painful, painful loss last night.
Well, but Severance is a good show, at least. So
I'm four episodes in, and I kind of think I know what's happening, but
you
not really.
No, you really don't know. I watched the whole first season. I have no idea what's happening. I know now, but I didn't know it was happening.
I know we're getting way off topic already, and we have to bring our guest on, but have you watched Better Call Saul for this week yet?
So, no, I have not. I need to check it out.
Please let me know when you do. Also, I see a guest giving the thumbs up. It is so good.
Also, because the writer, I think the guy who wrote that episode, is a fan of our show, of Fantasy Live, at least. I know he watches the show. He's the one that I asked. I said I was worried about Kim Wexler, and he told me that I should be. So that part. That seems like a perfect way. To bring in our guest, who, if you follow the fantasy space at all, you know him. He has been doing this for a while. He is not just a friend of the show. He is actually just a friend of both of ours. Also a guy who is well steeped in television. It is the one and only. It is the all-in kid himself. It is Jake Seeley, which I guess I should add. I got to ask you about the Mets. I got to ask you about Severance. I got to ask you about Better Call Saul. I will just throw it out to you, and you can take one of those topics and run with it.
Mets, I'm glad I didn't wake back up like Florio did, like the East Coast. That just pulled at my heart. And then seeing that the fact that Diaz had two outs, and there's just, we talked about it before the show, it's the most Diaz thing ever. When he doesn't have it, then it just goes sideways. So not that. I've never seen Severance. I haven't yet. Is this a hard recommendation? Yes. Like, definitely yes. Check it out.
I like okay. It. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's Here's the good. Problem. Well, I already know what you're asking me at the end of the show, so I'll save it to that point. But there's a problem with Severance. I'll tell you in a second later. Okay. But yes, Better Call Saul, major thumbs ups. Love that episode. There's no way to say anything about that episode, Florio, without like ruining anything. So yeah, that's all I'll say. Was just love that episode, and I also loved the Rescue Rangers reboot with the best cameo of all that they save for last in the credits. If you haven't seen it yet, the Duckling Duck shirt is. That was like 90s nostalgia overload. And then, of course, they saved this guy for last at the very end. I loved it.
I've been seeing the trailers and the commercials for it, so it is on my watch list.
I haven't even heard of it.
Oh, yeah.
I gotta check it out.
A reboot movie.
Stop living on the Mets rock.
I also have to watch it before Obi-Wan Kenobi starts on Friday, because then we'll get to that a little bit later. We got some stuff to talk about. There are some news headlines. Also do a little bit of hype train or smoke screen later on in the show. But it's always fun to have Jake. Plus, yeah, we'll get Jake's thoughts on pop culture and I guess Serial too. I don't know if you're still doing. Are you still doing Serial rankings, by the way?
I mean, if there's any news. So two things. One is Milk First, by the way, not
Serial. I was going to say, you're a Milk First guy, right?
That was exactly why.
That's why Mark said it. Because for everybody out there, before you go crazy, when you pour a second bowl of cereal, do you take the milk back out? No, you're already doing milk first anyway. You just don't even realize it. Second thing is I continually go through the cereal aisle at the store to see if there are any new cereals. And so I am, but I'm not. Like, so the list, I think, almost got to 67 or 68 ranked wow. cereals. And I mean, a lot of them from memory, like that. There's ones that don't even exist anymore. Like, you remember how awful the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle cereal was? So that's in there, like that kind of stuff. So I didn't eat 68 cereals in 2 weeks or anything like that. I'm okay. I'm not going to be in the hospital. But yes, if there are any new cereals, I do want to check them out. Unfortunately, I don't always catch them. Like, they had the cinnamon filled mini bites. What are they called? The frosted mini bites. And then I never saw them around here. Never got them around here.
Huh. All right. There's some weird cereals out there.
If anybody has some, you know, cinnamon frosted mini wheats in whatever region they live in, you can send them to Jake so he can write about them. That would be awesome. All right. In the meantime, I know you write a lot about fantasy football. I know you do some fantasy baseball as well, but let's talk some football here. This is not necessarily a heavy time of the year for news, so we're always sort of trying to manufacture some stuff. So I was able to go through and kind of pick out some things that I thought were sort of interesting. One, coming out of Cleveland and the Browns, obviously they've got a new quarterback. We'll see how many games he actually plays for them this year. But there is a thought that with Deshaun Watson under center, that the Browns plan to run a lot more three wide receiver sets. They plan to run a lot more run pass options, more than they did when they had Baker Mayfield as their starting quarterback. So that sort of makes me wonder, Jake, if they are going to spread the field and let Deshaun Watson do his thing, how worried should we be about a guy like Nick Chubb when we're talking fantasy drafts?
I'm really not, mostly for two reasons. If you look at Nick Chubb and his workload when Baker threw a lot, in quotes, threw a lot, but the first is when he was throwing in the teens and completions in the teens and stuff like that. Nick Chubb's variance was all over the map. Like, it wasn't coinciding perfectly of Baker throws 25, 30 times, he only gets 16 carries. He throws 18 times, he gets 27 carries. It was back and forth and back and forth. And honestly, some of his higher attempt games were the games that Chubb actually got 4-3 targets, which isn't a lot, but that's still with Kareem Hunt on the field. I think if anything, you know, Deshaun Watson, assuming when he's playing and potentially more three wide, you're also talking about offsetting potentially with more plays, period. So I'm not really worried about Chubb. It's more the fact that maybe Kareem Hunt is the bigger hit here, and that he folds a little bit more into the RB3 James White's territory, where he's so pass reliant. Now he's only getting 4 or 5 carries a game versus where he was getting, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 carries a game. So I'm more worried about Hunt. I'm not worried about Chubb at all. And honestly, I think that maybe he sees a few more targets per game, hopefully. But in any case, I think it's kind of a net neutral, honestly, with Watson under center.
That's interesting. Cause I, you know, I, I honestly hadn't looked into what the, you know, the carries were with Baker Mayfield. I think the assumption is Deshaun's going to sling the ball down the field. They're going to try to stretch the field. So maybe that takes away from Chubb. So maybe I'm worried about nothing. I'm fine with being worried about nothing. I'm fine with it being a net neutral, to be honest with you. But Florio, the next kind of corollary to me is I went and looked at the roster. Are there three Browns receivers that we actually have interest in? I mean, there's Amari Cooper. I guess there's Donovan Peoples-Jones. Beyond that, there was nobody there that immediately jumped out to me, especially now that Jarvis Landry is in New Orleans. Can you find a third guy you'd be interested in?
Yeah, actually, to me, Donovan Peoples-Jones is the third guy that I'm interested in there. I think Amari Cooper is being overlooked. If it all comes down to what happens with Deshaun Watson, but if Watson plays the full year or anything close to it, Amari Cooper going outside as a borderline top 20 wide receiver seems way too low. But then I think David Bell is a name to kind of circle on your list right now. He, I think, is going to be the one that comes in and plays that Jarvis Landry role. I think he can kind of excel in the slot there. I think Donovan Peoples-Jones is the perfect receiver to go opposite of Amari Cooper, stretch the field, be like that flanker there. But then I think that means a lot of David Bell over the middle. And look, I know he's not a wide receiver, but David Njoku is a sleeper tight end that I like a lot as well. I think he's a really good athlete. I think they got rid of Austin Hooper. They cleared. I mean, if you look at the tight ends behind him, it's a bunch of guys with three names that I never heard of. So like, it has to be David Njoku. They got three names. Harrison
Bryant. Harrison Bryant. Come on, man.
Okay, he's a legit backup.
Yeah,
I'm trying to Google right now to see what Harrison Bryant's middle name is. see if he's got three names in there. I'm not.
That's what it was.
I'm not seeing anything right now. Wikipedia is.
He wouldn't have a middle name.
Yeah, Wikipedia is letting me down at the moment. So if he has one, I don't know what it is. So all right, he's a two named tight end at this point. I'm so interested to see what this Browns offense can be, and obviously, as we sort of have danced around, the big question that needs to be answered is how many games Deshaun Watson will be there for. And that's obviously going to have an impact on what we feel about Amari Cooper, about David Bell, about really any of these guys, David Njoku and the like, because I have no inside information. I just have a sneaking suspicion that if the suspension is coming, it will probably be somewhere in the 6 to 8 games range. But of course, you know, we know the history of sort of NFL discipline is it's kind of a moving target. So we never really know. But yeah,
you're telling me you don't know what's going to happen before it happens?
Shockingly. Look, here's the thing. And you know this, Florio. I know there are people out there that believe that because we work for the NFL that we have some sort of inside information on this. I will tell you that the advantage that we have over average people is that our job allows us to sit and scroll Twitter all day. Like that is kind of the advantage that we is that most people out there, you have an actual job that you have to focus on. Like our job is me sitting here doom scrolling and hoovering down things like, you know, Kendrick Bourne is greater than Devontae Parker. Like that's all. Like that's what we do.
Do you know the episode of South Park where Stan's trying to return the mixer or whatever that his dad? Mm-hmm. It's about the economy, and mm-hmm. he finally gets to the guys, and there's this giant wheel, and they kill a chicken, and where it dies is what they decide on. I have a feeling that's the NFL's like punishment office. It's like, yeah, where does the dead chicken live? Like, all right, there we go, seven games.
Seem arbitrary, right? Like it is very much a moving target. So like when I sit here and I say I believe it's going to be 6 to 8 games, I will preface it by saying that is my own personal belief. And I have no information that will give me a definitive answer. And somebody actually, Randy just pointed out, it's also like the episode with the manatees that came up with the ideas for the Family Guy episodes too, how they just pick basically a bunch of colored balls, and that's how Family Guy comes up with its ideas. All right, let's moving on to Jacksonville. Travis Etienne, who missed all of last year, unfortunately, with a foot injury. He is reportedly a full go in practice. We will be seeing him, hopefully, for the first time. So, Florio, what is your expectation for him this year?
I'm pretty excited for Travis Etienne. And I wasn't last year because I thought, you know, James Robinson is a legit threat. I liked Etienne's profile and everything. And I keep going back to the fact that Next Gen Stats has this tool where they factor in college production, the strength of opponent, and all the athletic testing scores, and then they give each prospect a grade. Travis Etienne got a 99, which is the highest possible grade you can get. Other people in recent years who received a 99 are Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Najee Harris. So, like, he's in really elite company there. And then you add in the fact that, one, I think the play calling is naturally just going to be better in Jacksonville. The situation with talent around them is better than it was last year as well. Plus, he already has that rapport with Trevor Lawrence playing in college. And then James Robinson suffered that torn Achilles so late in the year that even if he's ready to start the year, which I don't expect, I think he will be far from 100%. So I expect Travis Etienne to be the lead back there. And his ADP is kind of what it was last year when it is what it was last year when James Robinson was a huge thorn in his side. So like a mid to low end RB2, but I think he's got a lot more upside than that. I think he can potentially push to be a low end RB1.
I mean, I want to believe it. Here's the thing. I was very excited about them last year. And I thought when Robinson was there and Etienne was healthy at the start of the year, I sort of thought that Jacksonville could kind of replicate what the Browns did with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. That was sort of my hope for them, that both those guys could find a way to be successful. Obviously, it's going to be a while, presumably, before we see James Robinson. I mean, Jake, do we still have an interest in him? Obviously, at a much more depressed ADP, but is there still reason to have any kind of interest in James Robinson this year?
A little bit, and now I'm going to edit out the part of my column that comes out tomorrow, the next breakout running backs, where I said this could be Browns-like, because I don't want to sound like this. Legitimately edit that part out and just kind of like leave it out now. I referenced a lot with Doug Peterson under Miles Sanders, and that similar workload is, if you like everybody, you guys remember this. Remember when he had Miles Sanders drafted and everybody's like, it's not going to matter because Doug Peterson only uses a committee. He never uses a primary running back, and then Miles Sanders comes in and he uses him a primary running back. So, granted, it's not 300 touches, but around 250, and what Etienne's value and ability is, I think he's a much, much, much better version of Tevin Coleman in one cut, can bounce off tackles. So, to say all that, my concern of James Conner is high. I think James Conner is the backup, but they didn't draft Snoop Conner until his fifth round, who's an early down back, and I think that more spells of like, Etienne's use is going to be Etienne's use, which is a lot in the passing game. I think the Connor is kind of the backup's insurance in case James Robinson isn't ready to be the backup. Somebody else is going to be involved, and Connor, again, to me, tells me more of like, this is Doug Peterson sharing some of the workload, but he's going to get those heavier carries. So maybe the only downside for Etienne not being an RB1 and being more like a top 15, like Florio was saying, is that his touchdown upside might not be great on the ground. But I do think 220 to 250 touches at Etienne would put him in that conversation.
Interesting. It's funny too, because James Robinson, I feel bad for the guy because he was easily Jacksonville's best offensive player all year long, even though we had that weirdness early in the season where it was like Urban Meyer hadn't been introduced to him or something. We all remember that, and that was weird, and I don't understand it, but whatever. That part's gone, so hopefully Doug Peterson.
the good thing is, don't forget too, they brought in Scherf to replace Norrell, which is a huge upgrade in the run department block.
Right.
So speaking of things being gone, and then they drafted that. I don't know anything about centers, but they drafted somebody in the third, Fortner, in the third round. So I'm assuming he's good.
You would think so, right? You would hope so. So, I mean, look, the Jaguars needed upgrades at so many different places across the board. It's hard to imagine this year can be worse than last year. So hopefully everybody sort of benefits from that. In Washington, there's a lot of talk about that backfield there. Antonio Gibson, at least on paper, still is the RB1. They have Brian Robinson, who they expect to sort of work in. J.D. McKissic decided that he didn't want to pack up his things and move to Buffalo because I get it, moving sucks. So he stays in Washington as well. So there's sort of a three-headed attack there. According to John Keim, who's one of the beat writers there for the Commanders, I had to pause and make myself say Commanders because I was just going to call them the football team. That he does expect that Gibson's still going to get a pretty good number of touches in this offense, but that his usage could vary week to week. Florio, we have been trying to sort of make Antonio Gibson an RB1, and he's kind of hung around on the fringes, but if they're going to use Robinson, if McKissic's still going to be in on third downs and catch the football, is his ceiling anything more than maybe a high-end RB2?
It depends on who you ask. If you ask the Gibson stands on Twitter, then All it takes is a J.D. McKissick injury, and Antonio Gibson is the second coming of Christian McCaffrey. But I don't believe that. I mean, what we've all said, like, this guy's a former receiver. Why don't they use him more in the passing game? Washington clearly doesn't trust him in that aspect, because not only did they bring back J.D. McKissick, they matched a pretty high offer that the Bills had in place for him and brought him back. So he is clearly going to be the passing downs back there. And it's easy to say, oh, they're going to use him on third downs. That's it. That's not true. Like, Marcus, you and if Patrick Claibon was here, he would definitely be testing it. I came in to the office multiple times last year, like, oh my God, they went with J.D. McKissick in the 2-minute drill and left him in on the goal line, and he scored it. Like, and it's just like frustrating when you have Antonio Gibson. That is going to be the case again, I think. And then you add in the fact now that they used a not a huge substantial pick, but it wasn't like it was a 7th round pick either on Robinson to kind of bring him in, and they're talking him up potentially as getting him some carries on the ground game. Antonio Gibson is someone that I still think has like high RB2 upside, but I think more often than not, he's like a mid to low end RB2, and he is someone that I haven't really been excited to draft. In fact, I've been fading him, to be honest.
I mean, Jake, can you explain to me why a guy who was a college wide receiver isn't more involved in the passing game in Washington?
So I think there's a couple factors going on here. And you guys know this in fantasy, you say it all the time, just because we want something doesn't mean it can happen. Like, we sit here and say, like, oh, if the coach only did this, guess what? We're not NFL coaches. I always go back to Lamar Miller, and we pounded the table. Give him more touches. Give him more touches. He gets more touches, and he's the same Lamar Miller, less efficient. And it's like, Sometimes, guess what? These NFL coaches know more than we do. So they're out there coaching NFL teams, except for Urban Meyer, but they know more than we do. And what I'll say is, like, why is because it's the kind of a little bit of the usage of Gibson versus the offense that he had at Memphis versus what Washington's running. And if you look at the routes kind of he was running in the passing game there versus how they use him in limited fashion here, it's just different. It's a different offensive system. And maybe he's shown some flaws at the NFL level where it was just, if it's not designed specifically for you, maybe he just doesn't have the mental acumen. Like, I'm not an NFL player. I wasn't even close. I wasn't even close to playing in college, but I can't look over my right shoulder as well as I can look over my left. And I'm just drawing a comparison for sports things is maybe Antonio Gibson has something they've seen where they're just like, we don't like this. Or maybe he has a glaring tell, like a baseball pitcher, that when he goes for passing routes, whatever it might be. So that's why I bring up Lamar Miller. And that's why I say Antonio Gibson is Antonio Gibson. This is who he is. He has a nice ceiling as a high-end RB2. He actually finished because of games played as an RB1 last year. But this is who he is. They want McKissick involved. And as Florio said, completely agree, Brian Robinson is bumping Jarrett Patterson as the backup. He's a nice three-down player. And this is more of if Gibson gets hurt again, Brian Robinson steps in. But I think it's still Gibson, McKissick. Just he's not going to be the passing game option when McKissick's there.
Two things. One, I was very much in the, like, give Lamar Miller more touches camp, only to, you know, have egg on my face when, right? I'm like, just free Lamar Miller. And then he gets freed and we're like, oh, you're still the same.
That's why you didn't.
Right. Like, okay. All right. I'll take the L on that one. But the other thing is when you talked about not being able to look over your, you know, one shoulder better than the other, Florian and I both started testing our own, our own ability to look over.
I think I'm better on my right.
I think I'm better on my left, actually.
This is why I played safety, because then you could just look straight forward and keep everything in front of you. It's
like, oh, I never really thought about this before, but now I'm going to, like, totally test this throughout my day. Weird. In New England, things are changing, man. Like, obviously, Tom Brady is gone. The Patriots are no longer the bully in the AFC East that they had been for literally a generation. I mean, there are people in the New England area that are now of legal drinking age that don't know what it's like for the Patriots to be actually.
Now they're getting bullied.
Now they're going to get bullied, right?
By Giants.
There is reportedly a high level of concern about the Patriots offensive coaching staff. There's apparently just disorganization. It's to the point where there's at least talk, maybe it doesn't happen, but there's at least talk that Bill Belichick may take over the play calling. Of course, Josh McDaniels is the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. Nice of him to show up in the AFC West when that division gets absolutely loaded all at one time. But there's apparently a scramble. What's going on offensively with the Patriots? Jake, I have seen stories of Mac Jones being Hashtag BSOHL, best shape of his life. you know, I believe that maybe Ramondre Stevenson was ready for a big step forward. But I mean, really, when we look at this offense, how many guys are you looking at that you consider to be really, truly fantasy relevant this year?
One. Everybody else, I'm leaving for. And it's not even the running back you mentioned. I'm actually right, Damian Harris.
Yeah.
Yes. If you looked at last year, you know, I think people are kind of, and I'm not saying you are, I think people are kind of like glorifying what Stevenson did last year because he did look really good. And it's like, oh, okay, maybe he can do what Harris did. And even then some. But you look at his two biggest games, it took more touches for Stevenson than it did for Harris. And Harris, slightly better pass catcher, not a lot, because this is still going to be the James White or eventually Pierre Strong role. I just think Harris is the guy. Now, being the guy for the Patriots probably still caps you at 16, 17, 18 touches in any given week. So I'll be Harris only because he's discounted right now because people are vaulting Stevenson up and they're going very close. If that gap starts to widen and it is Harris significantly in front of Stevenson, then I'll do what we should always do when you're drafting Patriots running backs, take the cheaper one. And that's where I'll be with you on Stevenson, or potentially even just do what we did a few years ago. Take James White in his two healthy games. What was it? Six targets or six catches or whatever. Like two really nice games for him. Mac Jones at quarterback, the wide receivers. I mean, we had 1 year of Devontae Parker, and we've been living off that 1 year for one, like our entire lifetime. Myers, Fitzwell, Bourne, you know, sure. I think it's everybody's being like, well, who else are they going to throw to? Well, there's Aguilar, and they drafted Thornton, and like there's just a mess there. But Hunter Henry, if Janu was hurt again, I'd be intrigued with. But as of right now, it's just, two. It's Harrison White as of right now. Those are the only two.
I mean, Florida, you agree with that? Anybody else that maybe you would throw a dart at this point?
No, and I'm happy Jake brought up James White because I'm doing a good amount of best ball drafts right now, and he is just like an absolute afterthought in a lot of drafts. And it's like, all right, if you're going to give me the guy who's going to get, like Jake said, you know, the 5-6 targets a game, because that's what James White is, and we know the Patriots are going to pull off all their other running backs to get him on the field in passing down situations. The other thing about the Patriots is I understand Mac Jones played the best of all the rookies last year, but he doesn't run. His upside is so hot, low, that I still have him ranked fifth of all of last year's rookie quarterbacks. Like I have Lance, Fields, Lawrence, and Wilson all comfortably ahead of Mac Jones.
I mean, you know this, Florio. I always talk about talent versus opportunity, and Mac Jones walked into the best opportunity, at least, right? I mean, he had at least a decent infrastructure around him. He had a great head coach. He had an offensive coordinator that could put him in situations to win. Let's go back to the fact that, I mean, you might want to wear some earmuffs for this one, Florio. They beat the Bills with Mac Jones throwing the ball three times, right? That to me says a lot about kind of who Mac Jones is. Like he's fine, right? He's not going to sink the ship, but he's also, to use Bucky Brooks's analogy of trucks versus trailers, right? I think Mac Jones right now is probably more trailer than he is truck. Like he's not necessarily pulling this team to victory, and he's not going to pull your fantasy team to any sort of victory. That's why I say that, you know, Davis Mills sneakily, you know, it's hard to say he was the best rookie quarterback, but
that's a good point.
He's knocking on the door, right? Like Davis Mills, I felt like did more to help his team specifically than Mac Jones did. I'm probably going to get some angry Patriots fans in my mentions. That's what the mute button is for. But yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know. There's nothing about this offense that excites me. And also I think goes to show how much Tom Brady sort of elevated a lot of the pass catchers in that offense for so many years. And I don't think Mac Jones is that guy, at least not right now. In Seattle, Rashad Penny is reportedly nursing a hamstring issue. They are sort of keeping him out of OTAs at the moment, letting him rest a little bit. And as soon as I saw the tweet and I clicked on it, and so many of the replies were some form of, here we go again. Because this has been the story of Rashad Penny's career. He obviously had that amazing finish to last season. There's every expectation that he's going to walk into this year as the RB1 in Seattle, with Chris Carson still dealing with that neck issue. And hopefully everything's fine, but there's certainly a chance that we don't see Chris Carson play football ever again. I know Callie has some things she would like to say about this, but we'll kind of hold off on that for the moment. But Florio, where are you comfortable taking Rashad Penny, knowing not only this issue, but sort of what his history has been?
So this feels really dirty to say, but Rashad Penny might, in my best ball drafts, might be my most drafted RB3 right now. Like, he's going outside the top 30 running backs, and some of them he's going closer to 40. Ken Walker has really suppressed the ADP, and Walker's going ahead of Penny. And I know Jake is going to disagree with me on this, but I've actually been in the camp of Penny over Walker just because of what we saw from Penny. Like, talent has never been the issue with Penny. It's always health. And this is maybe this is the warning sign I need to kind of change my stance here. But what we saw the last 6 weeks from Rashad Penny, I think was real. I think that he was running with more power than we had ever seen before. I mean, every single metric from that the final 6 weeks, he led all running backs in. Like, you pick one, he led them in it, and probably by a good margin. So I've kind of been hanging my hat on that. I think both of those running backs are talented, but I think with Penny being in a one-year deal, they were going to kind of let him get the start and potentially just kind of run him into the ground. But maybe I need to change my stance. If we're already seeing Penny hurt, maybe this is one I got to think through a little bit more.
All right, Jake, Kenneth Walker III, go.
I know, this is why you got to bring up Rashad. This is like, you're going to make me talk negatively about Rashad Penny is probably the most painful thing I've ever had to do in my life. I have been waiting for Penny, and I was so excited for Penny last year. That all being said, let's even say he's healthy. Let's just throw that out the window. Let's say he's healthy, because this is the argument I want to make. They drafted Kenneth Walker. Where they drafted Kenneth Walker is not to be the backup to Rashad Penny. Does it mean he's going to get 70% of the touches? Probably not either, because if they're like me, and I might be wrong on this, but my evaluation of Kenneth Walker and coming out of college is the passing game is majorly an issue. You saw him, you talk about turning over the wrong shoulder. This dude's turning around, dropping passes and stuff like that. And that, you know, could get better. But I saw the drafting of Walker, knowing the history of Penny, and saying, we're going to create our Denver Broncos. We're going to, you know, hey, bring over Drew Locke. That's not why they were doing it. But that being aside, is like, this is going to be a 50-50 split. We have two great talents, and that is my saying. I don't think Chris Carson is around anymore, unfortunately, for him, given his injuries. But I think this will be a very much 50-50 split if Penny is healthy, with Walker being the running guy, with Penny being the passing guy, and then some crossover between them. The issue with that is, again, this is Drew Locke's Seattle Seahawks and not anymore Russell Wilson's. So I go back and look at Drew Locke and what he did to that offense and what he did to the running backs for most games, and not even throwing to running backs. And that is a death knell for this backfield, being a split backfield. If it was one guy getting 70% of the touches, I'd be in on him. But being that way, I'm going to go with the guy who's carrying the ball and not the pass catcher relying on Drew Locke. And that's why I go Kenneth Walker.
I mean, he mentions Drew Locke, Flory. I mean, with Russell Wilson, you had to back up, right? I mean, this is the guy who threw arguably the best deep ball in the NFL. He was spreading the ball around to DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. You couldn't load the box consistently against the Seahawks. I feel like with Drew Locke, that might be an issue for these guys.
Yeah, it might be, but it also might, like, the Seahawks already run the ball towards the top of the league more than anyone, and I mean, we could see a situation where they're both getting 15 carries. Like, this, I think, very much could be like Denver was last year, where the offense is running through the running back position, which is going to be gross for the receivers. Like, I agree with Jake. I don't love either of these two running backs enough to take them as anything more than an RB3. I think there's some upside there, though, for the running backs. I'm much more concerned with these receivers, especially DK Metcalf, because Tyler Lockett in early drafts is starting to fall further and further, and he's going closer to, like, you know, as a borderline wide receiver three, whereas DK Metcalf is still going top 15 wide receiver off the board. I understand that how he looks and what we've seen him do before, but man, you are asking a lot out of, I think it's going to be Geno Smith. But out of Geno Smith or Drew Locke.
Yeah.
We're actually hoping for Geno.
Right. I didn't even mention that part. Yeah, there's talk that Geno Smith right now is running ahead of Drew Locke in practices. And you know, he very well could be the starting quarterback in week one. By the way, looking back at last year, when you look at the top 10 running backs who faced the most loaded boxes, Alex Collins was ninth. Rashad Penny was 10th. That was with Russell Wilson. I don't know. Maybe that number goes up with Drew Locke. I don't know. Maybe it goes up with Geno Smith too.
Wait, is that percentage or total? Because
percentage.
Total, that's not, Okay, that's, I was going to say, if it's total, Drew Lock's going to, they're not going to get past third down enough to have.
Yeah, 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 no, that's percentage. Yeah, let me clarify that. That is percentage wise. Both of them just a shade under 40%.
You know who Drew Lock is? Drew Lock is the one doing the quarterback competition with the five being the really far one, and he doesn't take any, it just keeps throwing at the five one every single time. It hits one out of 20 and then finishes in last place.
This offense is clearly going to be like run and hope the quarterback could pick up third down, right? Like,
I mean, it's funny too, because, you know, like, Russell Wilson was great at throwing the deep ball. Drew Lock likes to throw the deep ball. He just doesn't seem to be good at it. Like, he just doesn't connect.
You know? Face it, Happy, you're not any good. Like,
right, exactly.
So I will say the only thing, and this is purely dynasty reasons, is like the discount you're getting more so on Lockett than Metcalf, because Lockett's also because of the age, is I am buying a little bit just in case they do say, you know what, we need to make this Baker trade. Like, just because I think we're all still, whether or not the Watson suspension happens, it's going to be Brissett. There's no way they're rolling out Baker, right?
I couldn't see it.
No, I mean, the way that relationship has gone bad, you can't in good faith be the Browns turn. I was like, hey, so
you want to start six games?
Hey, Bake, you want to come back and start a few games for us? Like, there's just no way. There's no way on earth that's going to happen. By the way, Flora, if it makes you feel any better, I think Rashad Penny in best ball is great, because, you know, you're not necessarily counting on him week to week, but when he shows up and he does Rashad Penny things, then, you know, you're already set up to go. So
This is off topic, but what's going to happen to Baker Mayfield living in Progressive Field?
Well, I'm sure. I don't know if he has a lease or if he's. I don't know if he's renting.
They already rolled that commercial. It's the one where he got locked out. That's they've already done that.
Like, you know, he's got to leave the.
There was foreshadowing. We didn't even know.
You know, they've got to change the security code for, you know, whoever.
They should do one where he's just going to like stadium to stadium, just like, you guys need any help?
Just, hey, looking for any vacancies? You guys, I can mow the lawn. Something like that. Yeah, that actually, you know what? As corny as those are, I think that'd be a really good commercial. Hire us, Progressive, or whoever that is, whatever company that is. Hire us, and we'll write your commercials for you.
It's Progressive. Yeah.
There it is.
Houston,
all right.
Houston kicked the door open for him.
Exactly. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll do some hype train or smoke screen. We'll talk about some other nonsense that may or may not be fantasy related. I don't know. We'll see. Stick around for more of the NFL Fantasy Football Show.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my game.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's LEESA.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days. Like, literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad-spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50. And it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18, my first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my game.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep expert. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's LEESA.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days. Like, literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad-spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50. And it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Hanging out with Jake Seeley here on the show, and that's a little bit of hype trainer smokescreen. I got three little scenarios. We can kick them around, decide if it's for real or if somebody's just blowing smoke. So we'll start in Baltimore. Marquise Brown, no longer there. He now collects his mail in Arizona. So that opens things up in the wide receiver camp. Sammy Watkins also gone. He is in Green Bay. So in theory, Rashad Bateman is next man up. He says he is ready to take over. He says this is his time to step up and shine. I know he was a fantasy darling last year, even though he was just, you know, sort of okay statistically. So, Florio, I will start with you. Hype train or smokescreen, Rashad Bateman is ready to be the Ravens wide receiver one. I won't say a fantasy wide receiver one, but at least the Ravens wide receiver one.
To be the Ravens wide receiver one, hype train. To be their top target, smokescreen. Like, I think he will clearly be their number one wide receiver. There's not a whole lot of competition there behind him for that. And I think he is ready for that role. Like, he's more of a traditional X than a Marquise Brown is. Marquise Brown is more like that stretch the field type of receiver. Whereas I think Bateman, he's going to be a receiver like Lamar Jackson has really never had before. I know he had a bit of him last year, but he can make contested catches. I think he'll be great in the red zone and in the end zone. But when all is said and done, I still think this is Mark Andrews' offense, and he will lead this team in targets and be the tight end one again, I think.
Agree or disagree, Jake?
I agree, but I think it's going to be actually super close. I think that you can see Bateman walking into Marquise Brown's 140, 150 targets, and I think it's better for Bateman than it was for Marquise Brown, because Marquise Brown was very hit or miss. Two things, stylistically and Lamar Jackson's strengths, is like he doesn't have bad deep ball, but if you want to open things up for this offense and go back to what they've already talked about as pulling back off the passing game a little bit, but getting back to Lamar Jackson, that was that MVP level type of play, you have somebody who gets off the line of scrimmage fast, gets open really quick. Everything Florio just said about him, I think he fits better for what they need to do. And that's why I'm kind of off the Duvernay and everything like that, who I think fills in for the Marquise Brown role, but that he fills that role. That should be the third option, not the second. So I think Mark Andrews and Bateman are going to be the top leaders, but I think it's going to be very close. And that's why I would say Bateman is in the wide receiver two conversation for fantasy purposes.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I will make it a clean sweep on, I think, hype train is him as the wide receiver one in Baltimore. As just looking at the rest of that wide receiver crew, there's not much to get excited about. I will say, you know, there's talk that now Lamar is working with somebody to kind of clean up some of his mechanics, which could be interesting. We'll see how much that changes it. And I don't know, are we going to hear the yearly refrain from the Ravens of, we're going to throw the football more? Because I feel like they say that every year, and every year it's like, you're not going to run the football more.
So. I think it's going to be a little bit less than it was last year. I think it'll be back to 2 years ago. So
I mean, but they get J.K. Dobbins back this year. Who they barely threw it to. I mean, but I think you're right. I mean, I think just they are who they are. Just it's in their DNA to just run the football. So I think that's probably what they're going to do. Allen Robinson is in Los Angeles, and last week Florio and I were talking about ADPs, and it just feels like his is insanely low at the moment. Maybe it's starting to climb a little bit, but it was really shockingly low. He says being with Sean McVay, being with Matthew Stafford, being in this Rams offense means they're going to bring the best out of him. There's talk that maybe he will have his most productive statistical season ever, which is saying quite a bit for a guy who really put up some decent numbers, especially during his time in Jacksonville. So, Jake, I'll start with you. Allen Robinson will have his greatest season ever. Hype train or smokescreen?
If I was on the set with you guys in the NFL Network, I would have walked off the set and did my best Vince McMahon impression as I walked on, because no chance in hell is this happening. 1,414 touchdowns. He is not eclipsing that when he had back with the Jaguars in the second. Now, best season since? Sure, that's in the realm of possibilities, because you're talking about 1,200 yards, 6, 7, 8 touchdowns. That can be eclipsed. But 14-14 with Cooper Kupp, not happening. If you told me 12-10, definitely think it's a possibility, especially because Odell Beckham's not back, and well, as of today still, and that Van Jefferson, actually, by the way, I think is underrated in the drafts in case anything ever happened to either one of them. And
I am a Van stan.
Value. Anyway,
I'm a full-on Van stan. That's me.
So there you go. But yes, Allen Robinson, no chance in hell, best season ever, but second best season, I would put money on that.
All right, Florio, to you. Same to you.
Jake stole the words out of my mouth. I was going to say, I don't think he goes for 1,414 touchdowns like he did with the Jaguars in 2015, but I could certainly see it being his best year since then. I mean, he never had 8 touchdowns again since that season, which is crazy for a player of his capability and his size. And the Rams are a team that we know they're going to throw the ball a good amount. We know, especially in the red zone and the end zone, Matt Stafford went there and his touchdown rate went through the roof. So, I'm getting really excited. I mean, you know that I am really excited for Allen Robinson. I've always been a big fan of his ability. Last year, the Rams' second wide receiver averaged 7.5 targets per game. That's factoring in that it was a revolving door of Robert Woods, Van Jefferson, and Odell Beckham Jr. I think Allen Robinson will get 8 or more targets per game. And there's going to be some natural regression for Cooper Kupp, but I just think those two together are one of the best 1-2 combinations in the league, and they're on an offense that is capable of supporting 2 high-end receivers, because not many are. You have to be pretty much a top 10 scoring offense to do so.
I mean,
by the way, to jump in real quick, the regression thing, I'm so glad you said that, Florio, and I have the stat because I tweeted out at the end of the state. So if you take 20% of Cooper Kupp's production last year and knock it off, he still finishes 1 point behind Deebo Samuel for the number 2 wide receiver in fantasy. If you hold on, here's the more crazy one. If you take off 40%, he's wide receiver 9 with Deontay Johnson.
So he's still a top 10 guy with 40% less production. That's insane. I'm looking right now at Fantasy Football Calculator and their latest updated ADPs. Allen Robinson is still middle of the 7th round. He's 1 spot behind James Robinson, who we're not sure when he's going to play. He's a full round behind Odell Beckham Jr. So stop. I'm not sure who's drafting right now.
And I know in best ball drafts, he's still going as like a wide receiver. It started off, he was a wide receiver 4. Now then it was 3. He's still kind of going as that. I took him the other day in the early fifth round. I was like, you know what?
I know your answer. I was going to see if we could get a consensus on this one too. Allen Robinson over Darnell Mooney.
I would take Allen Robinson.
I take A-Rob.
Easily.
Yeah,
see?
Absolutely.
There you go. It's not even close right now in drafts, as you're mentioning.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, Allen Robinson or Chase Claypool.
Oh, Robinson. Claypool announced the better wide receiver draft pick, unfortunately.
That's sort of awkward, right? Like, you come out and announce the dude who's probably going to...
I mean, Darius Slayton did it the year before with Kadarius Toney, so...
Yeah!
You think stop, the team stop having wide receivers announce wide receiver draft picks.
If I'm an NFL wide receiver, like, hey, we want you to announce this draft pick, I'm like, nah. You're going to have to find somebody else to do
that. If I was the Steelers, I'd be like, Claypool, what? Why don't we get you out there next round? That's the round for you.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's super, super awkward. All right. Last one here. Florio, both Baker Mayfield and Jimmy Garoppolo will have new teams by week one. Hype train or smokescreen?
I'm saying this is hype train. I know right now we're in May, at the end of May, and it's like, oh, these guys, no one's saying they want them. Where are they going to end up? But we were saying earlier, the Browns just can't go in with Baker Mayfield, and I think they know that. And I think the closer and closer we get to the season, the more money they'll be willing to eat, especially once we get a ruling with Deshaun Watson and stuff. I think that'll also just kind of push the need to get Baker off of the Browns. As for Jimmy G, I understand that it's been hard to move him. I think the Niners are going to have to eat some money, but where the longer he's there, the more rumors we're hearing, like, could there be a competition or something? To me, it's like, no, you traded up to take Trey Lance third overall, knowing that he sat out pretty much all of 2020 because of COVID. Then you had him sit pretty much all of last year. You can't have this guy sit 3 years in a row. It'll just ruin his development. So I think for sure Jimmy G will be on a new team. It might take an injury. It might take them eating a bunch of money. But I would be surprised if these guys are still on their teams come week one.
All right, Jake, are they both in new places week one?
Yeah, that's why I'm going to say smokescreen, because I don't think Jimmy G does unless an injury. And it has to be an injury to contender. I just don't – like, Houston's not going to trade for him. They'll just roll out with Davis Mills or look at the draft next year. So you look at the teams that could trade for Jimmy G contract-wise. As you said, Florida, they probably have to eat a lot if something happens. There's just so many factors with Jimmy Garoppolo. And leaving out the biggest one of all is, what if Trey Lance just isn't ready? Like, Trey Lance last year when he came out of college kept saying, I know a lot of people did, very much like Josh Allen, and very much in that, like, that's the same deficiencies in the passing game, the accuracy issues and stuff like that. And we saw the brief sample that he looked rough in the pass, very rough in the passing game. We don't know that he's necessarily, if I could say that correctly, necessarily been getting better, because we don't have anything to watch so far. So the 49ers are contender. If they don't believe Lance is ready, they might just say, if Garoppolo is healthy, we'll just roll him out one more year. Not every quarterback has to start their second season if they're not ready.
That's true. I will say that I think it's a smokescreen, because I think Garoppolo is kind of the sticking point here. I think Baker gets dealt. If you are the 49ers, you are praying that the Browns trade him to Seattle, because the Niners aren't going to trade Garoppolo in division. They're just not. So if Baker somehow ends up in Carolina, then the 49ers are really going to be stuck there. Weirdly, it seems like the Panthers are trying to talk themselves into Sam Darnold for another year, right? Like, I don't – like, they keep talking about Darnold, and Darnold's saying, I think I can be a great quarterback in this league, and the Panthers keep showing support. And I'm like, are you kind of convinced yourselves or us? Like, who are you talking to? Because I think we've all sort of made up our minds on Sam Darnold. But like you guys both said, whoever trades for either of these quarterbacks, their current teams are going to have to eat quite a bit of that salary. I think we see Baker traded relatively soon. Jimmy is the tough one. Could happen by week one. It could be, you know, week three or four, if something happens to another team in the league and they are looking for a quarterback at some point. So I'll say this. I don't think either of these guys finishes the season with their current teams. I think that would be a surprise to me. But
your text chain will not be happy.
No. We've given up on the countdown. We've given up on the daily count of how many days it's been since Jimmy Garoppolo threw a soul-crushing interception in the NFC Championship game. But I can guarantee you that if he were the starting quarterback in week one, I will get a lot of angry text messages from friends.
Hey, at least he took the chance, right?
Hey, you know, look, he took a shot for whatever it's worth. And now he's got Subway commercials, so good for him. He has Subway commercials, and he has a snow leopard named for him at the San Francisco Zoo.
Can I call out that Subway commercial real quick?
Sure.
Because they're promoting a new sandwich, and he's like, it's just like my grandma's made my whole life. And she's like, I don't cook, I come to Subway. And I'm like, how is this a new sandwich if you've been feeding it to him his whole life?
I've never thought
continuity
of
continuity factor. You're going with the commercial continuity.
I've also never paid enough attention to that commercial to actually get that. Now I'm totally going to watch that the next time I see that commercial. Man. All right, before we let you go, Jake, I can't ever have you on my show without us having some conversation about what it is that we are streaming or watching or what have you. Nowadays with me, because, like, you know, I'm married and I have a kid, I don't get as much time to watch stuff, so I have to pick and choose. But this is why I come to you to see what you're watching, so I can make a list and kind of put them in priority order. So what, anything that has really tickled your fancy lately?
Yeah, so the Rescue Rangers with Darkwing at the end. I watched that with the girlfriend of all. Yes, Jake Sealy actually has one now, finally a girlfriend at this point. And I just finished Moon Knight, Knight. I'll just leave it at that. That's my take. Yeah, see? Meh Knight.
So here's the thing. I don't know if I said this on the show. The reason I was kind of meh on it at first is because I went in, I didn't know anything about the character like at all. So before the show aired, I started reading some of the comics just so I could get some sort of baseline knowledge.
And so there were some things,
there were some major changes. There were a couple of things that were really big that they changed. And so it took me a few episodes to sort of wrap my head around it. Once I did, I'm like, all right, it's okay. But yeah, that sort of took me out of the show. And maybe that was just me. But you saying that, like, I don't know how much Moon Knight you have read, but you saying that sort of makes me feel better about how I felt.
I mean, I knew the background of Moon Knight, and I also, just even having not known the background, would still have had the same takeaway from the show. Is like, I get that he blacks out, but at the same time, you cut out almost every fight scene by using the blackout. Like, we didn't get to see anything. Instead, we get the CGI battle, spoiler alert, at the end or whatever. But anyway, so that's dumb. I'm trying to make it through Halo for some reason, as much as I love the video games. Like, just it's not like I got to go back and watch this episode. So I'm like, still I think the season's over, but I'm not that concerned anyway, because you mentioned it's upcoming. The girlfriend and I are going through Stranger Things season 3 to finish that, with Stranger Things season 4 coming.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan is coming. There are movies coming as well. So it's Obi-Wan and Stranger Things season 4 mainly. And as Florio mentioned, Better Call Saul, which thankfully has a little bit of a break until July, so I can kind of watch these other ones and catch up. But those have been the ones on the docket right now. It's been more getting back to the movies and going to like those recliners in the AMC and all that type of stuff.
So I got to ask you, though, because you had at the start of the show, you had a take about Severance that you were postponing.
Oh, no. So I was going to say, as good as it might be, where am I going to fit it in? Because that's what I was going to say. Like, is it worth trying to cram in with Stranger Things season 4 and Obi-Wan coming out? Or should I just wait for those to be over and then come back around to it? It's like, how much is going on?
Oh, I think you can come. I mean, at this point, you can come back around because the season's over, and I'm sure it'll be a while before season 2 comes out. So there's no pressing need to get to it right now. But it is fun watch. I think you'll. Yeah, it's only one season so far. I think it's what, 8 or 10 episodes. It's entertaining, but with the season over, there's no rush at this point to get to it.
For you, for Marcus, and everybody else who's an anime fan, to why in one season is because that's one reason I never watched Bleach, because it's like, oh, by the way, you're just getting in now. Here's 750,000 episodes to catch up on.
Yeah, I'm a One Piece fanatic, but I've also been watching One Piece for like 15 years. Like, there's literally like 1,000 episodes of it. Like, I see people talking about, I'm starting One Piece, and I'm like, Godspeed, you're gonna be here a while.
I'm wearing the right shirt to ask this question. Did you guys see that Rick and Morty is getting an anime spinoff?
It's off the special.
So I've seen the specials. I didn't know they're actually getting a full spinoff, but I'm here for it.
Yes.
I'm absolutely here for it. So that should be fun. Sweet.
I almost wore that one. I have one where it's Rick and it says, I'm not arguing, I'm just explaining why I'm right. I almost wore
the when is the new season of that coming out? That's what I want to know.
It's more mysterious than anything else in the history of forever. Literally, they'll do what they do is they just drop it without telling anybody.
There are random times I open up my DVR and it's just, there's a Rick and Morty there. And I'm like, where did this come from? And it's like, and I sit and I watch it.
You know you're going to have a good night then.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So, Jake, you know, I always enjoy chatting with you. Always enjoy having you on the show. I'm guessing that people who listen to this show also know about you, but for the uninitiated who might be new to this whole thing, where can they find you?
Yeah, the easiest way is at AllInkIn on Twitter, but over that, The Athletic, that's the series I'm dropping, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, breakouts that I try to predict every single year, try to. And then, of course, the All In Football show, which Florio is coming on today, and you're coming on next week because we're a big, happy family, right?
We are one big, happy, dysfunctional TV-watching family. That's what we are. That is what we are. As for everybody else out there, we appreciate you listening, and that will do it for this edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Show. Stay happy, safe, and healthy. Do good and live well. We will talk to you next week. Please, everybody, stay safe. And hopefully we'll see you again soon.